That is not my mother tongue, so bear up with me. We're going to talk about transforming life today. I believe you see all kind of scenes in cowboy movie. It's quite normal that we see, you know, a herd of white horse in a prairie, and one of the horse was blatant horse. And however, cowboys caught this horse. When it was put into the fence of the ranch, nobody can ride on it. Every cowboy tried so hard, but each one of them was thrown and fell to the ground after just 10 seconds on his horseback. And then, finally, the leading actor appeared. And with great effort, this guy finally tamed the white horse. And after that, this horse became his favorite horse in the movie. How come a white horse become tame and become the favorite horse of this leading actor? What a change, what a change. When we look at ourselves, it is quite a similar situation. Before trusting Jesus, we were pursuing the worldly pleasure and have our own ways without God. However, thank God, after we trusting Jesus, God gave us a new life so that we might be longing for pleasing Him and experiencing an abundant life. Through this kind of scenario, I'm going to talk about the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. Through the verses, we are going to understand why Paul praised this church. What happened to this church that deserved the praise from Apostle Paul? Through this kind of study and understanding, we're going to also examine ourselves to see whether we also have a similar transforming life, because without that, we won't inherit or experience the abundant life. So let's turn our Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. Let's read together 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 to 10, actually. Okay, let's go. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. In this very short two sentences, it's not difficult for us to realize there are three aspects of this church that Paul prays about. The first one is to turn to God from idols. And the second one is to serve the living and true God. And third aspect is to wait for His Son from heaven. If you look at these three aspects, we also can divide it into the thing happened in the past, and the thing is going on in the present, and also the thing will be happening in the future. And that is something that we are longing for. We need to have this kind of transforming life. So we're going to talk about the very first one, which is a life that is focusing on what is of eternal value. A life that is focusing on what is eternal value. From this Bible, from this book, we can understand this church in Thessalonica might be a church of Gentile. At least a majority of the congregation is Gentile, because they used to worship all kind of idols. But here, Paul prays them, they have left the idol. And that is similar situation we did in the past. When we trusted God, trusted Jesus, we made a determination not to pursue or worship idols, either physically or spiritually, because they are worthless. We make a decision is to turn away from those worthless things. Why the Bible always talking about idol is worthless? In Acts chapter 14, verse 15, when Paul preached the gospel to those Gentiles, he said, "We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them." Why idol is worthless? Because idol, the false God, cannot give any promise that is reliable and also true. They are not promise anything reliable. And what they are talking is about false teaching. That's the reason they can only guarantee you worthless things to those who pursue idols. There's a story mentioned about a billionaire who went to Mexico for a vacation. And during the vacation, he went to a beach for fishing. And he saw a local Mexican also was there fishing. So they just chatting each other because you're waiting for the fish to get caught. So through the chatting, he realized this local Mexican was kind of poor. So out of his good intention, he decided to give him advice. So he said to this local Mexican, said that, "Well, you can go buy more fishing rods so that you can get more fish." And this guy said, "Then what?" And he said, "Well, if you have more fish, you can sell then and you can get more money." So the local continued to say, "Then what?" And this rich man said, "Then you can have enough money to purchase a fishing boat." And he said, "Then what?" "Then you can sail out to the sea and catch more fish." And the person said, "Then what?" "Then you can have more money, then you can purchase more fishing boats. You can own a fleet." And the Mexican said, "Then what?" And the billionaire said, "Then you can utilize the money you accumulate to invest all kind of business like me." And this Mexican said, "Then what?" And the billionaire said, "Then you can, like me, can have an early retirement and you can go vacation and do fishing." And the local Mexican said, "Why bother? I have already doing this." You know, I'm talking about this story is not to encourage you, don't go study, don't go make a big living, you know. No, that's not the case. But let's think about it. If we are not careful, we will be like this billionaire. We're pursuing worthless things. We're chasing, just like a dog chasing its own tail, and end up with, you know, emptiness. Because the worthless things can never satisfy our desire in our inner being. And this church in Thessalonians, they have decided to leave the idols and turn to the true God. They make the decision to focus upon the value of eternal things. So, they trust true God. They trust God's promise. And God's promise always brings the security in our life. Because our God is eternal. And His promise is reliable forever. And in Bible, God already promised us, if we confess our sin and repent and trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God will forgive our sin. Because Jesus' death satisfies the requirement of God's righteous judgment. And that's the reason only through Jesus we can receive God's forgiveness. That's the reason in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30 say that it is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. When we are in Jesus Christ, we have the peace of being forgiven. When we are in Jesus Christ, we will have the joy of satisfaction. God will embrace us as His children, and we, because of that, we will do everything with gratitude. When we do everything in gratitude in Jesus Christ, then whatever we do will have eternal value, and God will remember and reward us in eternity. That's the reason. In the past, when we decided to trust Jesus Christ, we had made the similar decision. We want. We want to pursue the things of eternal value. We want to trust God's promise. And how can we do that in today's life? By trusting God's promise, I believe we need to prioritize our life. I believe we need to first focus upon God. God always is our first priority in our life. We do things, we need to think about God. And second thing is our family. Second priority is our family. God entrusts us to minister to our family, and we need to put them as our second priority. And third one is God's church. Because we are called to worship Him and to serve Him. So the church ministry should be our third priority, and fourth one will be our work and other things. If we prioritize accordingly, then we will enjoy abundant life. We will do things of eternal value. And that's something that we need to have, so that we can continue to have the transforming life. That's the first thing. We need to focus on what is of eternal value. And second thing we're going to talk about is the meaning of our life. A transforming life is a life that is focusing on fulfilling the meaning of life. This passage talking about the Thessalonian church was serving the living and true God. Living and true God. What is that mean of living God? What does that mean of true God? True God, that means He did everything out of truth. There is no falsity in Him. And also, He revealed the absolute truth. His truth will never change. That's the reason He is a true God. And what does that mean of a living God? Living means powerful, mighty. Our God is a powerful God and mighty God. And also He can give power to those people who trust in Him. Through this kind of understanding, we're going to talk about how can we live a life of fulfilling the meaning of life. The first one, we want to know God through His Word. We want to know God through His Word. God redeemed us because He loved us. He wants us to fellowship with Him. He wants us to enjoy all kinds of blessings He ordained in Jesus Christ. However, only through the approach He revealed in His Word, then we can have these kind of blessings. So that in our life, we need to humbly, continuously seek after God's Word so that we can know the approach, the ways to fellowship with God and also to enjoy the blessing He intends to give us. That's the reason in Romans chapter 2, verse 2, chapter 12, verse 2, Paul exhorts every one of us, do not conform the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. God wants us to understand His will. His will is good and pleasing and perfect. Only through His Word we can know His will so that we can walk on His road, His ways to experience the abundant life. Let me give you a very simple illustration, then you can understand why we need to continue to know God's Word. Because we need to know Him, His way, so that we can fellowship with Him. For example, because what Pastor Derek did for me, and I want to thank him. I want to express my thanksgiving to him. So I intended to treat him a feast. So I prepare the lobster from Rhode Island, blue crab from Baltimore, the salmon fish from Alaska, and the fresh oyster from New Orleans. Those things are so precious and expensive. So I prepare all the seafood on table and I ask Pastor to come and say, enjoy. And guess what? He shake his hand. He could not eat any of them. Because he's allergic to the seafood. Even just a piece of dry shrimp will knock him down. So how can he enjoy the seafood I prepare? On the same token, if we don't know God's word, we don't know what He pleased, then how can we fellowship with Him? How can we enjoy abundant life? We can't. That's the reason we need to spend time to have devotion, to have Bible study, to attend Sunday school, so that we can test and approve what God's will is. Without that, we cannot have a fullness of life. That's the reason we are serving a true God. And second, we are talking about the living God. How can we serve the living God? Our God is a living God. That means that He is everywhere. He is an omnipresent God. He has all kinds of interest in our daily life. When we know that, we might be very scary. We might be very scary because God is everywhere. He knows everything we think and everything we do. However, God is not looking for a perfect life. Because we cannot be perfect on earth. As long as we still have this mortal body, our sin nature was still tangled with our mortal body, and we still will commit sin, either in our mind or in our deeds. However, we have a hope. When we die, the mortal body will depart from us. From that time on, we will no longer sin because the sin nature will depart from us forever. So there is a hope waiting for every Christian. However, let's go back to this. Because we are serving a living God, then we need to glorify Him through our life. It's not just glorify Him in Sunday service, not just before brother and sister, but in every moment of our life. And that's the reason in Philippians 1:21, Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Everything he did, Paul wanted to exalt Jesus Christ. He wanted to be live like a Jesus. And that's what he meant for to me to live is Christ. And I believe the brothers and sisters in Thessalonian church, they did that. Maybe they are showing Jesus Christ in their kitchen. Maybe they are exalting Jesus Christ when they are washing their clothes, doing their own laundry by the riverbank. Maybe they are working on their farm and they exalted Jesus. And I believe that is the way how we can glorify Him through our life. Through everything we do, in our school, in our company, in our church, while we are taking vacation, in every moment we want to glorify God. That doesn't mean that we don't stumble. That doesn't mean that we don't commit sin. But God wants us to live a genuine life. When we sin, we confess our sin. We pick up the pieces. We trust in God's blood. Jesus' blood will cleanse our sins. We repent and return to God every time when we stumble. God is looking for a genuine and faithful follower of Jesus. You know, in every year, in January of every year, the Queen of England always issue the New Year honor list. Every year, she issued the New Year honor list to honor those people who serve faithfully. And many times, those people who show on the list are scavengers who sweep the street faithfully, the librarians who are taking care of books every day, those people who are helping the homeless bring their food every day. The reason Queen wants to honor them is because of their faithfulness, not because of they are great and perfect and outstanding and rich people, but faithful servant for the kingdom. That's the reason God is also seeking the faithfulness from us. That's the reason if we want to have a transforming life, we have to glorify God through everything we do in our life. And finally, we're going to talk about the transforming life by a life that is focusing on Jesus' second coming. Focusing on Jesus' second coming. The verse here in verse 10, Paul used wait for. This verse is talking about waiting with a great expectation and passion. With expectation and also with great passion. Jesus will come. His second coming is based upon his promise. So he will be coming. How we deal with his second coming is not whether he will be coming, but when he will be coming. And there is a verse so important to each one of us, which is recorded in Hebrew, chapter 9, verse 28. The Bible says that Christ will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Again, waiting for him. With great compassion, with great passion, and also great expectation. There are all kind of wrong idea about Jesus coming. Some people are thinking about, well, if we are not alert enough, if we are not holy enough, then when Jesus comes, we will be missed. Those holy, outstanding Christians will be caught into the air in a cloud with Jesus Christ. And those who are lukewarm, unholy Christians will be left out on earth. No, that's not true. Because this Bible verse saying about when Jesus comes, his coming has nothing to do with bearing sin. His coming is to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him, those who are trusting in him. Nothing to do with our sin, but everything to do with our final redemption. So that during that time, when Jesus comes, our mortal body will be departed from us if we are still living this earth. And God will give us a glorious resurrected body. And from that day on, we will be no longer sin. We will no longer have death, sorrow, pain, and curse. And that's the reason. If we understand that glory is coming, then we will long for redemption body. we will be longing for the redemption of body. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21, the Bible says very clear, everyone, we, but we citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform all lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. We are longing for that day to come. How can we be sure that day will come? Because of Jesus Christ. He already went through this route. He already received the glorious body and returned to heaven, so that we would have the same way, because he says so. Praise God. Through that kind of hope, we can face all kind of difficulty we have today, because we know our destination is there, up there, not in this earthly residence. Then we are talking about when Jesus will come, and Jesus said it very clear in Matthew 24:36. No one knows, not even the angel in heavens, nor the Son, but only the Father. Jesus said that it's out of his human nature. So that he said he did not know. Only God the Father knows. Why God keep this thing so secretive? Because he knows the weakness we are, how weak we are. He does not want us to be lax, to be idle. He wants us to be alert, waiting for him every day. Let me give you a personal illustration, then you will understand why God decided not to let us know when Jesus was coming. When I was in college, because I was majoring in architecture, so I, together with several classmates, we went to an architecture firm and said to the owner, said that we will do the building competition for you, because there's a competition for government housing. We did all kind of design presentation for you. If it didn't go through, you just pay us a couple thousand dollars, then that will be fine. If we got an award, then you can have all the design fee. That is maybe $200,000. So usually the owner will say, well, great, I only invest a couple thousand, then I might have the chance to earn $200,000. So that's the case we earn our allowance in college. Okay? So every time when we sign a contract and to do this, okay, the deadline is June 10. We have about 2 months to do the design and all kind of drawing. And guess what? The first month, what did we do? Nothing. The final 3 weeks, what did we do? Nothing. Only until the final week, 6 days left. We better work hard. The fifth day, still good enough. The fourth day, before the deadline, okay, you do this, you do that. And third day, we better be hurried. Okay. And the night before the deadline, nobody is sleeping. Everybody working like a dog. That's how we do things, right? And Jesus does not want us to be like that kind of person. Do nothing until, okay, 5 minutes before he will be coming, then we better read our Bible and get serious. God knows how weakness we are. He does not want us to do that. So He keeps it secret so we can be alert all the time. So that is the way how can we continue to be transformed today. Anyway, we should be ready to meet Jesus at any time. He will be coming and surprise us. So we better be ready. From the verses, we know how Paul prays the Thessalonian church. However, when we understand the testimony of Thessalonian church, then we can take it as our self-examine. We need to talk about and examine ourselves. Do we have the behavior that show our faith in Jesus? Do we have faith in Him? Or are we complaining all the time when we face difficulty? God wants us to have faith in Him. A second question we are going to examine is, do we have the labor that show our love for Jesus? God wants us to love those who are in need. Through that kind of labor, we are serving our God. Do we have the alertness and grasp every opportunity we can have to show our care for those needed people? And the poor raising fund is one of the means we can do. And third examination is about, do we have the patience to show our hope in Jesus? Finally, I'm going to tell you a story to be a closing point. Every time when we go to airport, when the airplane about landing, we know, even though we didn't see it, we know the tower controller will be very, very busy. They know which plane, which flight will be coming. They know the route they are coming in. They already know which runway to direct the plane. And they know which terminal gates the plane will stop. They know all the details. However, they did it emotionless. They did it out of their job, probation. However, those people who are waiting in the airport waiting area, they are expecting with great joy and passion because their loved one will be coming. They stare their neck. They are waiting for their loved one to come out. Now, those two kind of people. One kind is a controller. The other kind is the people who are waiting for their loved one to come. I'm talking about this is because there are many things we don't know today. Some suffering, some setback, some difficulty, some challenge. Sometimes we will ask, why? Why did this thing happen to me? Why I have this kind of difficulty? But God wants us to be like those people who are waiting for the loved one to come. God wants us to be the people who are expecting with passion for His Son Jesus to return. That's the reason Paul promised us, and he said it in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. There's in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing. How can we have a transforming life unless we are longing for His coming? Then we will have a transforming life because we love Him, love our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for giving us a glorious hope, which is Your Son's second coming. In Him, we already receive the redemption, eternal life. But we are still waiting for the body redemption. We are waiting for receiving the resurrected glorious body at a time when our lover, our Savior Jesus is coming. So Father, we pray that You will continue to give us that kind of understanding and expectation so that that will motivate us to continue to live a life, to love You, to serve You, so that our life can be transformed. Thank You, Father. Bless us, bless our church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.